Welcome back on a chilly Wednesday morning in December. Today we have many new topics to talk about. We have some college football topics. We got some NBA topics. We got some NFL topics and many more. First of all, hope you're having a great day wherever you are and whenever you are listening to this podcast. So today we're going to start off with Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU. And Notre Dame's quarterback entering the transfer portal after Brian Kelly is leaving. So Brian Kelly is reportedly to be getting $10 to $12 million plus other things included in that for leaving Notre Dame. Brian Kelly has been getting much pushback for leaving Notre Dame considering they are in the Final Four and it'll be causing all this drama. Notre Dame's quarterback will be leaving and entering the transfer portal after hearing this decision for Brian Kelly, which is completely fair, to be honest. You don't know what's going to be happening with that, and he wants to control his own future. All right. So, just going into the NBA topics, Kemba Walker will be out of the Knicks rotation, as heard from Tom Thibodeau, Knicks coach. John Wall potentially to the Knicks. Kemba Walker and Knicks have been reportedly been at a not great spot right now. So, Kemba Walker is probably going to be looking for a trade out of the Knicks considering he doesn't have any playing time. John Wall's also been getting ready to be suited up for the Rockets or maybe potentially being traded to a other team. It's been talked that John Wall might get traded to Kemba, to the Knicks for Kemba Walker. So we'll see what happens with that. It could be a good fit. We'll have to see how salaries match up with, each team, but John Wall does have, $45 million remaining on his contract. So contracts might be a little bit iffy, but we will see what happens with that. LeBron, breaking news, LeBron is going to be missing 10 days minimum, 7 games minimum for entering the health and safety protocols after testing positive for COVID yesterday. LeBron has already missed 11 of 22 Lakers games this season with abdominal issues, ankle issues, and now COVID issues. LeBron has been averaging 25.8 points, 5.2 rebounds, and 6.8 assists per game. They are 7-4 with LeBron and 4-7 without LeBron. So the Lakers really do need LeBron, but they will be 10 days without LeBron. I do see this as a huge blow to the Lakers, considering they are below 500 without LeBron James. We're really going to have to see Westbrook and Anthony Davis to step up, but we'll see what happens. Avery Bradley has been an absolute disaster for the Lakers this year. So considering the Warriors had Avery Bradley, released him, and the Lakers picked him up, just shows how bad the Lakers are right now. Considering Avery Bradley is in the starting lineup for the Lakers, that's not great. I really do think this is the end of the road for the Lakers. I don't see them as a great team this year. There's no specialness to this Lakers team. If you're telling me this Lakers team was 5 years younger, I'd be telling you they are the championship favorites. But this team is old. It's not a good team. You have an aging LeBron who's already missed half of the games this season. He's going to be missing at least 7 games more. You have an aging Westbrook who has been pretty good, but has also not been a great fit for the Lakers so far. Anthony Davis has been playing pretty well, and he hasn't gotten injured yet, so I consider that a great plus sign for the Lakers. But I really think this Lakers team is really all in this year, and I don't know what they're going to do next year. I really want to see how the Lakers are going to bounce back once LeBron comes back, and we'll see if LeBron can stop missing games, because at this point, LeBron's going to be playing 11 of 29 games once he comes back, and that's just the minimum, so he might miss more. We'll see what happens. COVID's also made players in the NFL and NBA not play well after coming back. You saw Evan Fournier and Jaylen Brown not look the same after coming back from COVID. So we're going to see what happens with that. But this Lakers team is really all in on this season, and if they don't go far in the playoffs this year, you're really going to see the end of the Lakers, I think, after this season, because LeBron's maybe got 2 more years of peak LeBron, top eight player left. Anthony Davis is kind of in his physical prime right now, so we'll see what happens with that. Westbrook, I think, he's only got maybe 1 to 2 more years, if that, of all-star level play. But this Lakers team is really all in. They kind of traded all their young pieces, with Lonzo getting traded to New Orleans and now in Chicago. Brandon Ingram still in New Orleans. Josh Hart still New Orleans. They shipped Kyle Kuzma in the trade for Russell Westbrook. They traded KCP with that package with Kuzma. So they're kind of just going all in. And if the Lakers don't get at, I would say at least to the conference finals this year, is going to be a complete bust for the Lakers. I just don't see how it's going to work for them. But the Phoenix Suns did beat the Golden State Warriors. Devin Booker did play a little bit. He did leave the game with a left hamstring injury, so we'll see what happens with that. But the Suns are on a 17-game win streak and are currently the number one seed in the West now. So that's very exciting. Klay Thompson also playing in the G League right now, so he is amping up for his return, as well as James Wiseman. So we'll see what happens with that. Switching over to the NFL, the Rams are on a 3-game losing streak right now, and Troy Aikman has some very, very discouraging words for this Rams team. All-star teams like the Rams don't work in the NFL. We've talked about it. The All-Star team, just, I've never seen it work in the NFL. I know Washington tried it back in, I think, 99. I've just never seen a team that goes out and tries to put together an All-Star team and that can win a Super Bowl, much less success. It usually unravels, and right now that's kind of what's happening to the Rams. They've just not been very consistent. When the Rams landed Stafford via trade in the offseason, they were immediately pinned as Super Bowl favorites. Everything seemed to be going along smoothly in the first 8 weeks, with the Los Angeles Rams boasting a 7-1 record. So that is some Troy Aikman words that I have been very, very supportive of. I do think Troy Aikman is right. All-star teams in the NFL don't really work. Really, the NFL and the NBA are so much different. The NBA, you can have 2 to 3 star players and you're instantly the championship favorite, and usually that team does go very far. The NFL is so much different. Like, look at the Patriots right now. Who do the Patriots have that's a superstar player right now? J.C. Jackson? Matt Judon? Matt Judon isn't a superstar player if he's not on the Patriots. You understand that, right? Matt Judon's a good, great, solid player. He was on the Ravens last year, but the Patriots are the peanut butter of the NFL. They're the consistent team that no matter what, you don't have the superstar player who holds the team hostage. Look at Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson on the Texans, that's a complete mess. Deshaun Watson is the Texans. What are the Texans without Deshaun Watson? That's kind of what you don't want in the NFL. You want what the Patriots have, is, look, we're going to have success with or without you. So if you want to be on this great winning team, so be it. But you're going to work hard, you're going to have to take a pay decrease, and you're going to win in this team, in this league, if you're on our team. So we'll see what happens with the Rams, but like I said, they are on a 3-game losing streak. Matt Stafford has thrown 3 pick sixes in the last 3 games, so a pick six in each, so we'll see what happens with the Rams. But like I said, just all-star teams don't work in the NFL. They're 1-2 since trading for Von Miller and 0-2 with OBJ, so we'll see what happens with that. Now they did lose Robert Woods last week, and Robert Woods is out for the season. The Rams are low-key starting to get up there in season-ending injuries with Cam Akers. They had a defensive, I want to say it was a safety, that had a season-ending injury as well. So that's 3 potential starters that the Rams have lost to season-ending injuries. Injuries are creeping up on the Rams. But also, look at the Ravens. The Ravens didn't even start the season, and they just had injuries after injuries after injuries. And we don't think of the Ravens as a Super Bowl contender because of all those season-ending injuries. So part of me says you do have to give the Rams a little bit of a pass. But at the same time, the Rams did come off a bye week and just got crushed by the Packers. So that doesn't make you feel good. I like the Rams. If I was to say how far the Rams are going to get, I think the Rams are maybe, I don't see them getting to the NFC Championship game. I see them getting to the divisional round and getting booted. If I was to say who I think is going to get to the NFC Championship game out of the NFC, I'd probably say Green Bay is in it and maybe whatever team gets hot. You usually see a team that sparks halfway through the year and goes on a little hot streak. You saw that with Tampa Bay last year. Tampa Bay, after the bye week, just hit just something clicked in that team, and they hit a streak, and they caught fire, and they just kept going. But that's kind of it for the Rams. Talking about more COVID, Dallas Cowboys lead the players out for COVID. Amari Cooper potentially is going to be out again. Jerry Jones did voice his concern about Amari Cooper not getting vaccinated. Look, if you're a $20 million a year player and you're the number one wideout on this team for the Cowboys, you need to be vaccinated. Like, yes, we've had certain quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton. Now, to be fair, Cam Newton has said, I am now vaccinated. Cam Newton didn't want to get the vaccination, but he did want to play so badly that he did get vaccinated. So to Cam Newton's credit, he did get vaccinated. But you can't be a $20 million a year player and the number one wideout for the number one team in the NFL and not get vaccinated. So Jerry Jones did voice his concerns. We'll see what happens with that. Usually Jerry Jones is very pro player, so it is something to be said that Jerry Jones threw Amari Cooper kind of under the bus. But I'm not as strict on players getting vaccinated if they're like a wide receiver or a tight end, because there are multiple tight ends and wide receivers. Now, if you're a quarterback, that is a huge piece if you're not vaccinated, if you're a quarterback, because teams only carry 2 to 3 quarterbacks, if that. And if you're the star quarterback of your team, the drop-off between the star quarterback and the backup is significant. Like, yes, Amari Cooper is a great player, and the Cowboys have many great wide receivers, but Amari Cooper is getting paid $20 million. He's the number one wide receiver on the Dallas Cowboys. That is not good. Like, Amari Cooper should be getting penalized for this. And I do think Jerry Jones was right to voice his concerns and throw Amari Cooper under the bus for not getting vaccinated and missing multiple games. I really do think that. You can't be the leader, one of the leaders of this NFL team, and just not be vaccinated and be irresponsible. So we'll see what happens with that. I do side with Jerry Jones on this. I think Amari Cooper is not being very responsible with this. Speaking of more Dallas issues, Mike McCarthy is also out with COVID, so Kellen Moore will be getting the head coaching position for the week. Now, you would say, oh, this is just a topic. Kellen Moore will be fine. He can be the head coach for a week. But I really think this is a big topic because Mike McCarthy's clock management is not good. What happens if the Cowboys fall apart halfway through the season like they're already kind of falling apart? They've lost the last 3 to 4 games. So we'll see what happens with that. Dallas is not in a good spot. They had great momentum going into the season, and the first couple of weeks, they were 6-1. They were 6-1. Now they're 7-4. So the Cowboys are kind of getting into a mess. Now, you could say this is just typical Cowboys, but I do think the Cowboys are different this year. But I do think they're starting to lose their momentum. And again, I think this is a big topic with Mike McCarthy being out. Kellen Moore could potentially get this job at the end of the year. Kellen Moore could be gone. If Mike McCarthy isn't gone out of the Cowboys, I do think Kellen Moore will be getting interest from around the league, with offensive coaches getting more looks around the league and the league going more offense. I do think Kellen Moore could potentially be getting multiple interviews and could get a job this offseason if he's not the Cowboys' head coach. So we'll see what happens with that. But I really think Mike McCarthy is going to be on the hot seat if this year does wind up Dallas falling apart. But we'll see what happens. Now, if I was Dallas, I would have to see what happens. If there's kind of two ways I look at this. If Dallas falls apart and they're like 10-7, 9-8, I would fire Mike McCarthy and elevate Kellen Moore to head coach. Because Kellen Moore is the future of the NFL. He's the offensive guru. And he'll get along. I heard Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore get along great. Why wouldn't you want your head coach and your star quarterback to get along? That's exactly what you want. So that's one of the ways I see it. The other way I see it is if the Cowboys really pick it up and they go like 11-6, 12-5, and they go on a hot streak to end the season, I think Mike McCarthy will most likely keep his job. I do think Kellen Moore could be out. It's kind of just like Mike McCarthy is kind of like a stopgap piece head coach for Kellen Moore to be the head coach. I don't see a world where Mike McCarthy is the coach for the next 5 to 6 years of the Cowboys. I really think Mike McCarthy is just kind of like a 3-year head coach to groom Kellen Moore to be the head coach after the season. But we'll see what happens. Continuing with the NFL COVID talk, the Vikings do lead the NFL with players out for COVID with 14. Arizona's creeping up there with 12, and Dallas now has 10. So COVID is slowly creeping into the Vikings, Cardinals, and Dallas Cowboys. But we'll see what that happens. But same time, the Vikings have been playing pretty well. Arizona is also the number one team in the NFL right now. And Dallas is pretty good. So we'll see what happens with that. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel calls out the strength and conditioning coaches for the injuries, which is actually pretty interesting because usually you don't hear head coaches calling out their own staff, but Titans head coach Mike Vrabel did call out the strength and conditioning coaches for the injuries. The Titans have been injury raveled this year. They have 17 players on IR. Julio Jones, who they traded for in the offseason, they traded a lot of picks. They traded like a number two, a second round pick for Julio Jones, and it is not looking good. Julio's missed, I want to say, most of the games this season, and has not looked like a good pickup for the Titans. But yeah, the Titans have, they've low-key been one of the more injury-raveled teams. We'll see what happens. They're still a number two seed. I think they're either, I want to say they're a number two seed, right behind the Patriots right now in the AFC. So they're still in it. I do think they are losing a lot of their momentum with Derrick Henry being out. And now A.J. Brown, Julio Jones being out, they're really rattled on offensive injuries. Speaking of injuries, Christian McCaffrey is out the rest of the year after suffering a ankle injury in their loss to the Dolphins on Sunday. Christian McCaffrey is not looking good. He's looking like the same old running back contract issue. It's not looking good. You've seen time and time again with these injuries for running backs after they get their contract extension. Look at Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley he got that contract extension, hasn't been the same. Todd Gurley is not even in the NFL right now. That's how bad it is. It's not good. Same as Zeke Elliott. Zeke hasn't really been the same since he signed that contract. Derrick Henry. Say what you want about Derrick Henry, but he's injured. He signed that contract last year. So, say what you want. I do think the Titans eventually had it coming with Derrick Henry, though. Derrick Henry still leads the league in rushing attempts, and Derrick Henry hasn't played in 2 weeks. So, say what you want about Derrick Henry getting injured, but the Titans were overusing him. Like, I think if you're a Titans team and you're that reliant on Derrick Henry, I wouldn't feel so good about my team. Because, say what you want about running backs, they get injured a lot. Like, another example, Alvin Kamara. He signed that big contract. He's injured this year. He's missed the last, three games? So, NFL running backs and long-term contracts aren't looking good. I do think running backs do need to get their contracts fixed, because I do think running backs do have it rough. They need to fix that contract. Which I have a topic about that. Maybe I'll talk about it a different day, but not today. Also expected to miss another game is Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is expected to miss the game against the Dolphins after he suffered a neck strain in the win against the Eagles on Sunday. We just talked about this yesterday. Daniel Jones is most likely not going to get a contract extension after this year, and it's looking even worse. Now, the Giants did sign a quarterback yesterday. I don't know who it was, but they did sign a backup quarterback off of a practice squad, I want to say. So, looks like they're going to be, they'll be fine. But Daniel Jones is expected to miss the game against the Dolphins with a suffered neck strain. Now, final topic of the day. I want to incorporate a little, like, fun game at the end of each podcast. So today is the NFL sleeper team, AFC and NFC. I do think every year there's a team in each side of the conference with, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is, there's always a team that always catches fire halfway through the season and really gets a playoff push. So we will be doing a NFL sleeper team, AFC and NFC. So, this has been a pretty hot team in the last, 2 to 3 weeks, is the 49ers. My NFC pick is the 49ers. I do think that the 49ers are getting healthy and they have an easier schedule. They're starting to catch fire. They beat the Seahawks. They just beat the Vikings, and the reason why I say they beat the Vikings is because the Vikings 2 weeks ago just beat Green Bay. So, say what you want, but Kyle Shanahan's really coaching this team up right now, and they're getting healthy. Now, Deebo Samuel and Fred Warner are supposed to miss 1 to 2 weeks, which is not good, because those are arguably the top players on that team on each side of the ball, so that's not good. But they do have an easier schedule going down the road. I see them going 4-2 down the stretch and making a nice playoff push. So that is my NFC team. And then AFC team, this team has also been catching fire a little bit. And no, I'm not going to say the Patriots. Everybody is super high on the Patriots right now. I like the Patriots. I'm just not as high as everybody else is. And say what you want, I'm a New Englander. So the Patriots are my home team. So call me a bandwagon. I ain't. I am not. But Colts. I do see the Colts as a sleeper team in the AFC. They can easily go 3-2 down the stretch. They play someone this week and then they have a bye week. But I see them potentially winning this division. With the Titans kind of falling apart and losing their momentum, it's kind of the exact opposite for the Colts. The Colts are gaining momentum. Yes, they did lose to Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay is, you know, heading into this last offseason, they were the number one favorites to win the Super Bowl. So say what you want about the Bucks, but the Colts are a good team. I see the Colts. Carson Wentz is not really turning the ball over. Yes, he did have a meltdown the two games against Tennessee, but all the rest of the teams he's played pretty damn well. But I see the Colts really catching fire, and they could easily go 3-2 down the stretch. They're starting to get healthy. T.Y. Hilton looked good last week. So we'll see what happens with that if Carson Wentz can stay healthy. Quentin Nelson also got healthy, so... the offensive line was looking pretty rough in the beginning of the season with all the injuries and stuff, but the offensive line is starting to gel, and you're starting to see that this Colts team is looking good, and Jonathan Taylor is just looking like an absolute monster. He's, now that Derrick Henry's out, Jonathan Taylor is looking like the best running back in the NFL. So say what you want about the Colts, but the Colts are looking pretty good. So NFC, I have 49ers, and AFC sleeper teams, I have the Colts, and I do see them both winning and getting into the playoffs. I think they'll both squeak into into the wild cards. The Colts, I see the Colts winning this division. The Vikings, the Titans are just a mess right now, and so I do see the Colts catching the Titans. So we'll see what happens with that. But that is the end of this podcast, and I am checking out. So I hope you guys have a great afternoon, and I will see you later. Thank you for stopping by and listening. If you are still here, appreciate it, and have a great day.